ESPN Daily is presented by Supercuts, the smarter, easier way to get a haircut. It's not just any haircut. It's Supercuts. So, Ryan Hockensmith, where does this story begin?
Well, this story begins at 12:31 p.m., beginning of December in Buffalo.
Fireworks going in the background. Bills are running out in the field. Helicopters overhead.
Ben Cansdale has been staring at five porta potties for a half hour now, right outside a Buffalo Bills home game.
All right, I'll keep an eye out as we're going down Bills Drive, see where it looks like the best to sit. You were there right next to the guard station, if I can.
He's part of a five-truck modern disposal services crew that is dispatched every home game to go to the Bills Stadium and do maybe the worst job in sports, but also a critical job, which is to suck out the porta-potties outside every Bills home game.
Big giant Peterbilt truck up in front of the porta potties. There's a mad dash of Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs jerseys. Get one last deuce in before the game starts.
They don't want us sucking off until kickoff, so we got like an hour
2 hours.
Wow.
Yep. 1 o'clock we can start.
Sometimes I'll cheat a little bit once, you know, 10-2.
So, Ryan, why are we here? What are you doing here?
Well, this started out as sort of a silly, goofy story about this uncovered corner of the sports world. But what I actually stumbled into is quite profound. Because the truth of the matter is, we could not have big time sports without porta potties.
Look, I understand if you try not to ever think about them, because who could blame you, right? The whole point is to deactivate your senses as best you can and get in and out as soon as possible. But if you were to draft the most essential utilities for any major outdoor gathering, you have to go portable bathroom number one. And if things get really desperate, number two. So today, our intrepid reporter meets the hidden people who keep sports going. And he gets behind this story in the most real way you can imagine. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, January 6th. This is ESPN Daily. Ryan Hockensmith, I don't know how you find these stories. You are, and this is a compliment, you are the weirdest guest that we have on ESPN Daily. And it's because of the genre of the work you do.
Well, thank you. That's a great honor.
Weirdest writer at the Worldwide Leader is definitely something that should be on your business card.
I'll take it. I would love to see those power rankings, though, Pablo, if you could just tweet those out.
This one in particular brought you to Orchard Park, New York, home of the Buffalo Bills. You were there for a home game against the Indianapolis Colts, but you weren't there to report on the game. You were there to report on, I think we can call it this safely, the football infrastructure around it. So how did this particular story find you?
Yeah, so this story began, I was at my 7-year-old daughter's soccer game this summer, and there was one porta potty, and there was a long line, and everybody was complaining. It was hot and gross. And everybody was mad that there was only one porta potty. And I couldn't help think, how mad would we be if there were zero? And So I started making calls to kind of delve into this world of portable bathrooms and how essential they are, who cleans them, how much do they cost, the whole thing. I ended up picking Buffalo because I wanted to do an NFL game. And there were two things I was really looking for. One was I did want a rowdy fan base that might not be completely creeped out by some guy interviewing them outside of porta potties. The Bills certainly qualify for that.
And obviously, you know, you need a human to sort of help you explore all of these nooks and crannies. Who agreed to be that person for you?
I can't believe anybody agreed to be the person, to be honest, but
yeah,
I made some calls and I called Modern Disposal Services in Buffalo and they let me come out and check out the facilities. And then they partnered me up with a young guy named Ben Cansdale and let me ride around in a truck with him all day. And even when I was climbing into his truck, I was just like, I cannot believe this is actually gonna happen.
Do you get butterflies a little bit?
Not really. I mean, it's more like a really heightened awareness thing the whole time. You know, everybody's drinking and they're just there to have a good time.
But the lay of the land here for people who are unfamiliar with Buffalo, I mean, I know that the tailgating scene there vis-a-vis the people smashing through tables is intense. But for people who haven't sort of seen that, what does this crowd look like? How many people are we dealing with?
Yeah, it's a rowdy crowd. There were people drunk at 7:30 in the morning. Honestly, blowing up the bathroom by 8, 9 o'clock, eating sausage, but also incredibly drunk. A lot of Zubas pants, more Zubas than I thought still existed in this world. They were everywhere. It's a wild, fun scene.
Yeah, I have heard about people trying to climb the truck.
Climb the truck?
Climb the truck. Once they start getting drunk, you know, try to take their pictures, their videos, just doing dumb shit.
Oh my God.
So these Bills fans, Ryan, the throngs of them, they're, as you have put it, blowing up the bathrooms. So when they go inside the stadium, when the game actually starts, and Ben and his crew have to get to work to keep the porta potties from, you know, filling up, I know they start to do something that your article has deemed, quote, a half suck, end quote. So what, Ryan, is a half suck exactly?
Pablo, let me tell you, if ESPN ever does an urban dictionary, I got about 10 terms we can start with when it comes to portable bathrooms, because there's all sorts of stuff. A half suck is what the modern crew has to do from the very beginning of the game until halftime. So in that 90 minutes, they have to clean out about 200 porta potties, and they can't do it top to bottom, full scrub. So they get in there and they suck out as much as possible in about 5 to 10 seconds per toilet bowl. And so that's where the term half suck comes in. I mean, that's what they use the term half suck.
What does the truck look like? Give us the visuals on the tools of the trade here.
Well, it's about a 500 gallon tank on the back of a big truck. So, I mean, it kind of looks like a small food truck type thing, but it's not a food truck, warning. It's actually one of the most impressive things about these guys is how they navigate the parking lot. Man, there were just people throwing footballs, drunk, wobbling around in a packed NFL parking lot. It was intense, some of the corners he had to make it around, and it was incredible backing that truck in.
So I'm envisioning this sort of like army, this organized strike force that is canvassing the territory and attacking methodically. Is that what that felt like to you as you were there?
It was incredible. It was as athletic as what was happening on the football field a half mile away. The guys, there was only six guys. One of them was a trainee. They were in five trucks. And these guys whipped this vacuum off of their truck and just plow through cleaning these bathrooms in a way. It was remarkable precision. They gave me like this Belichickian description of what I was about to see. They'll be cleaning the bathroom and a guy in Zubas will just come in and be like, hey, can I get in here? No respect for like what their job or that they're in the middle of it and just in and out and in and out. I mean, there was even cops coming up and be like, hey, I need to use this thing.
Okay, so this is chaos, and it's half-suck time. So what are Ben and his team doing here? How are they suited up for this job?
I thought he would be wearing, like, a Darth Vader helmet to do it, and he was just like, nah, my nose is completely torched. I'm entirely used to it. But you might not be, so you may want to wear a mask. And he has this vacuum that it sucks everything into this 500-gallon tank on his truck. And I describe it as like a Ghostbusters proton gun and then like a leaf blower got married and had a vacuum baby. It looks like a handheld vacuum kind of with a tube running into this tank. And he said to me, he said, Ryan, I'm just going to warn you, When I fire this thing up, it blasts a little air out before it starts sucking.
Oh, no.
You know, when they turn that pump on, what actually stinks is the air, the old air in the tanks. That's what really stinks, is that smelly air getting shot out of there. My first 3 days.
And I was like, you know, how bad could it really be? I mean, I got 3 kids. I've changed a lot of diapers. And I was like, you know, seriously. And so he fired it up, and it was so much worse than I could have expected.
Oh. Have you gotten splashed?
It's like if you took a full bag of baby diapers and just like sauteed them all day. and it was hot air. It was like the temperature also. I just started gagging.
Oh my God. That is a rough smell.
So what does success look like for the porta potty strike force?
Success isn't pretty. I mean, they do the best they can with the half sock. They get as much out of the toilet as they can. They clean up all the cans. There was a leaf pile in one of them that looked like someone raked their leaves into a porta potty. He had to get rid of a leaf pile in the middle of this half sock. And so he just, every door they open is like they have no idea what they're going to find in there. And it, whatever their expectations are, it's usually worse.
What are some of the objects that have been discovered inside of the bottom of a porta potty?
Oh my God. I mean, I could get really gross here. The most common one is cans. Cans are everywhere. Also lots of diapers.
Diapers are pretty bad because the way they expand, and unfortunately you do got to fish it out of there, but
you do.
You do. I mean, you can use tongs.
Multiple cell phones, multiple iPhones were found. At one point, Ben just starts wrestling with the vacuum tube, and I'm like, hey, what's going on in there? He said, oh, I'm clogged. I said, what is it? And he's standing there. He has his gloves on, and he said it was another pair of gloves. It got clogged in his vacuum, and he had to pull that out of there.
But wait a minute, the iPhones thing. Like, so I guess it actually does make sense, right? Like, if you're going to drop your phone into a porta potty, you just sort of have to wave goodbye at that point, I presume.
Well, so the rules are, I don't want to get anybody in trouble here. The guys have a heart, so they do everything they can to preserve phones.
Wow.
And they have actually returned multiple phones, cleaning it and getting the phones back to people. But yeah, and they still will be functional, apparently.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I wouldn't even want to text someone that had a phone that had been fished out of a porta potty. But okay, so if these miracles are possible, if that's success, what does failure resemble?
Well, I'll tell you, the week after I was there was the Bills-Patriots game where winds were north of 50 miles per hour, and the porta potties were literally blowing end over end upside down like loose sailboats in the parking lot.
Oh no.
I gotta tell you, I talked to Ben afterwards. Not fun to clean those out. They had to get power washers out and clean them. Some of them were unusable, just wrecked by the wind. The number one nightmare that they run into is when one of the porta potties gets tipped over. It's just a total disaster in there. The weird thing is, if you tip one over backwards, it's usually okay. Everything stays down in the bowl.
Mm.
Frontwards, not so much. You got a big problem on your hands. Everything just spills out. It's terrible. When I went to the modern lot, there was like this huge lot with like maybe 500 porta potties. And in the back was this like sad, lonely row of like 50 to 100 that were all banged up. A lot of them had been tipped over and banged up and ruined and were probably going to be out of commission. But there were also ones that had been blown up, lit on fire. Just
wait, you're talking about literal blowing up now.
I'm talking about literally blowing up. There was one with the two sidewalls and nothing else. And I said, wait, what happened to that guy? And they all sort of were like, you know, they kind of all got somber. You know, it was like a little bit being at like a porta potty funeral. Like the guys were like kind of sad for this lonely guy. There was a traffic cone that they had put in front of him. It really felt like a tombstone. They went out to a construction site and someone had used either dynamite or a lot of fireworks and just blown the entire middle of a porta potty to pieces.
Oh, God. All right. Ryan, I need to take a break here real quick, but afterwards, I want to get into the business side of all of this with you. And by that, I mean the actual business as in money side, which is also pretty graphic.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with the smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So it is crucial, of course, to have this porta potty infrastructure at any given game day experience. I respect that now more than ever. But I want the numbers on this, Ryan, because around the country, it feels like there are hundreds, thousands of outdoor events that need porta potties and porta potty people. So how big of an industry is this?
It's a monstrous industry. It's about $70 billion a year. And it's expected that there's going to be 5 to 10% growth in the next decade. So it is just going to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. The pandemic played a role. You know, more and more people wanted to do things outdoors, and that we expect to not change. I mean, outdoor weddings alone are up multiple times over what they were years ago. And so this is a huge business. The next time you are out and about in a park or near a school or just walking the streets, if you look around for porta potties, you will see them. There is one almost around every corner, and there will continue to be.
So how did Ben Cansdale, your guide into this world, the porta potty guy who was steering you through this, how did he get into this in the first place?
Well, he had a pretty good job as an electrician. He was making about $15 an hour and making an okay living. But, you know, he has a girlfriend, he has a young son, and he wanted to look for something that paid a little bit more. And so he put his resume out there and he got a call from Modern Disposal. And at first he thought, oh, my God, do I really want to be driving garbage trucks or cleaning portable bathrooms? Do I really want to do that? The pay is really good. It is really good paying job. He jumped almost $10 an hour with all sorts of incentives and bonuses. And so part of that huge industry, it filters down to the workers. These guys make a good living.
So, you know, you make this argument in your piece, Ryan, that we can't really have sports without the porta potty. So how important to you are they? What do people not understand about the delicate dynamic here?
It's essential. You know, people did not used to go to stadiums and spend all day there and have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The first reports of that kind of tailgating and game day experience were in the early 50s and into the 60s. And that's exactly when portable bathrooms began their spike in the United States. And those two things are not unrelated, because the early returns on tailgating in 1950 and 1955 with 50, 60, 70,000 people, it was a nightmare scene of people just going to the bathroom in their cars, outside their cars, looking for woods, sneaking into the stadium early. We could not have the kind of big time sports that we have these days without the evolution of the portable bathroom.
And so what I want to understand is, what is the history of this thing? What's the history of sports and the toilet? Where does this all start?
Well, weirdly enough, the first portable toilet was discovered in an ancient Egyptian tomb sometime around the 14th century. And it was just a wooden stool with a hole in it with a piece of pottery underneath it. And you know, it kind of stayed that way for many, many, many hundreds of years. So the actual first porta potty in the United States, you know, there's not a lot of historians out there with great backgrounds in this, but it's believed to have been around the time during World War II, whenever there was shipbuilding happening on the West Coast. And supervisors realized, boy, I got guys ducking off these ships that we're building and going on land and going to the bathroom and coming back and losing 20 or 30 minutes every time. And they saw incredible spikes in worker productivity. And so that launched the porta potty into the 21st century.
Okay, so when did the porta potty become like the thing for these outdoor events for sports and otherwise then?
Yeah, so we've had large gatherings at horse racing events and a lot of football games, even up in the early 1900s through 1950. But it was around 1950 that a confluence of factors popped up where people began to make game days a full day. It just didn't happen before about 1950. But a bunch of things came together. One is preservatives in food and the ability to kind of take food and have it all day and put it in a cooler. Another is bigger cars allowed more people to go to games and sort of camp out in their cars. And that's when tailgating culture really began and took off. And along with tailgating, you had to have bathrooms. It's one of the first things people are looking for when they go tailgating, even as far back as 75 years ago. And so that's when facilities and people realize we got to have a porta potty.
Well, it reminds me of like, you know, giant outdoor music festivals.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really, I mean, I write in my story about how Woodstock is the first porta potty. It's like a seismic event in the porta potty history because it was the first gathering where just hundreds of thousands of people showed up. They expected 100,000 and they ended up with 500,000, which means they had 600 toilets for 500,000 people. And let me just tell you, it did not go well. Did not go well when it came to the bathroom. Think about that. It's 800 people waiting for each bathroom. I mean, it's bonkers. The recommendation these days is that you have about one porta potty for every 50 people. But it's interesting that there's always a caveat about alcohol. If you are serving alcohol, you should drop that by about 20% because people use the bathroom more. So it's about one porta potty for every 40 people or so if you're serving alcohol. And this is a shocker, I'm sure, Pablo, but at a Buffalo Bills home game, there is some alcohol.
Yeah, Ryan, I've heard that. So on that note in particular, now that we have the history, I want to go back to that parking lot outside the Bills game and back to the scene of the crime.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So, Ryan, we are back in Orchard Park. We're back outside the Bills game. And your porta potty guide, Ben Cansdale, and his whole crew, they were in the middle of this half-suck ritual, doing it to hundreds of porta potties. And you, understandably, were gagging at the smell. Were you able to rally and complete the rounds with them?
by the end of the day, I was like, oh, I'm an honorary porta potty cleaning guy, because I kind of like started to get used to it. And so what happened when I got used to it is I then greatly enjoyed watching other people get horrified by it. There was one guy when he fired that thing up and it blasted the air out in, it's a large cloud that comes out in the general vicinity.
Is it a visible cloud?
No, not that I could tell of, although I was kind of like crying from the smell. So it was a little blurry, but there was a guy who was standing there. And when Ben turned the hose on, I saw the guy crinkle up his nose and then he just started running. He just ran. It was like you yelled fire in a crowded theater. This guy was like, I am out of here. He started running.
Have you had anybody like kind of goofs on you or is disrespectful towards you about it?
A little bit. It depends. If they're drunk, yes, definitely. Mm. So most often people are still pretty nice. Now, once I fire that pump up, some of that gross air starts blowing out. Yeah, they'll make comments or say it's gross, or quite often you'll hear, oh, I would never do that job or something like that.
Yeah, there does seem to be this yin and yang, cosmic balance, full circle, so to speak, dynamic here, Ryan, where the beer guy and the porta potty guy are two sides of the same coin, except no one ever really thanks the porta potty guy.
Yeah, they are the least thanked people. I'll tell you though, that a lot of the first responders, there's a whole section of bathrooms, and a lot of the cops and ambulance drivers and fire guys that were at the game were like, hey, thank you so much. I think they understand.
I also think of like those scenes, you know, from like horse races where like there are hijinks with these porta potties. What are the common hazards in that way that these guys have to deal with?
People treat porta potties just like they treat them so badly. Just like if somebody did in your bathroom what you just did in that porta potty, I mean, you'd be livid, but people do it and it's horrifying. And one of the big ones that I just mortified watching was at the Triple Crown races over the years. They have these rows of, I don't know, maybe 100 porta potties, 50 back to back. And people have begun, it's become like a sad porta potty tradition where they try to run across the entire 50 porta potties, right?
Yes.
And that is such a bad idea for like five different reasons. One is that the top of the porta potty, it's just plastic. And so it can maybe hold 100 pounds. So you could easily go down through, and people do go down through them. At the Triple Crown ones, what happens is when they run, people throw things at them, like violently throw beer cans at them and hit them, knock them off. I saw one where a guy took one of those plastic fold-up chairs and lobbed it and took a guy out, knocked him right off the top of the porta potties and down onto the ground. I mean, it's a horror scene.
So all of this has me thinking about what the future, Ryan, might be like for the porta potty industry, because we rely on it, we need it, but it's also been like seemingly pretty unchanged for the last 50 years. I mean, I'm looking at a picture of a porta potty right now at Woodstock from 69, and it doesn't look demonstrably different to what you're describing your Sunday with Ben to be like. So why hasn't it evolved? What innovations do you see coming to the portable bathroom industry in the near future?
I see almost no innovation. There is like no one in a lab coat thinking about this, unfortunately. The one expert that I spoke to, she said, you know, this is a fascinating interview because I've never spent any time thinking about the future of porta potties, even though I spend large chunks of every day thinking about the future of bathrooms. And she has been to conferences around the world on all the innovations coming our way in the future of the bathroom. And she said, you know, I just don't think anybody has paid any attention to porta potties. So I don't see big changes. The picture of the porta potty from Woodstock to now, I mean, there are just very slight differences. If I told you that one of the Woodstock porta potties was out at my kids' soccer field, you wouldn't say, no, that's from years ago. They look almost identical. It's a plastic shell with a toilet in it. That's it.
So at the end of Ben's day, at the end of any given game day, How does that culminate for Ben Cansdale? What does that look like?
So he's wiped out. Those guys work hard. I mean, to clean, think about 200 bathrooms in about 90 minutes. It is intense. And so by the time the game is winding down, Ben is already headed back to his house at 4 o'clock, and he's usually exhausted. And before he comes in the house, you know, he has an 11-month-old son. He has to call his girlfriend and say, "Hey, listen, can you hide Silas from me for a little bit? Because I'm coming in hot, man. I am coming in hot. I need to get in the shower and just scrub everything off of me before he comes running over for a hug." And so they have to coordinate his entrance into the house.
So this routine, which has clearly been perfected, I appreciate now there's an optimization to the world of porta potties that I never appreciated until your reporting, Ryan. But is that how the lights go off at Ben Cansdale's home? Is that what he does? And then he goes to bed from there?
Yeah, he's exhausted, but he used to be in a band. He plays the guitar and he sings. So he told me, like, after a lot of games, he'll plop down and start playing, and then he'll hear Silas come running down the hallway. He'll hear the pitter-patter of a toddler's feet, and he'll come running in to listen to his dad play the guitar. And he's come up with a bunch of songs that parents often do. It's like sort of gibberish little songs and inside jokes. His favorite one that he plays for his son, he came up with many months ago, and he changed one of Silas's particularly bad diapers. And the song's name felt so perfect to me, and it's how I end my story. And the song's name is Stinky Baby. He is this exhausted 31-year-old dude doing the toughest job in sports, trying to wind down for the evening. Just blasting away with a little Stinky Baby, just him and Silas.
Ryan, at the very end here, what do you want listeners, our listeners, to take away from the story above all else?
Well, to go back to why I started doing this, everybody complains about porta potties. They're this nightmare scenario that you have to use. But man, they are essential. These people that clean these, they are doing God's work out there. Let me tell you, I saw it. Whatever they get paid, they should double it. So, man, you got to treat the Ben Cansdales of the world just the same way that the cops and firefighters did, which is like great reverence. Because without them, we can't have big time sports. You cannot have 100,000 people that get together and cheer and sing and all of the stuff we do without the Ben Cansdales of the world. They are, it sounds weird to be talking about porta potties and use the word hero. I'm going to use it, though. This guy is a hero. I'm sorry. They all are.
Ryan, I'll just push back on one thing you said there. I don't think God would do this work.
You're right. God has outsourced this to the modern disposal services people of the world. God is even staying far away.
Ryan Hockensmith, thank you for being the hero ESPN Daily needs, but, you know, not the one we deserve right now.
I'm a proud founder of our porta potty beat. Thank you for having me.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.